When he signed up for the committee, commercial crabber Annie Knight thought the group would be discussing whether or not the borough would support Senator Bert Stedman's bill. That measure would pay hunters a $100 bounty for every sea otter they lawfully kill. Otters are federally protected and may only be hunted by Alaska natives. While he acknowledged the otter issue was complicated, Knight suggested focusing on a simpler question.
Are we going to support our commercial fishing community or not?
No one debated the importance of supporting the town's lifeblood industry, but some of the other committee members didn't think a bounty would accomplish that. The group is chaired by Borough Assembly member and fisherman Kurt Wolhuter.
I've always intended on supporting the commercial fishing industry, but I personally don't think that Stedman's bill is the way to go.
For one thing, Wolhuter was concerned about the legality of a bounty and that it would conflict with the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Act. As an alternative, Wolhuter pointed to the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's approach on the issue. The institute teaches Alaska natives how to process and sew otter hides. It's also encouraged the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to change regulations that hunters and artisans say have inhibited them from hunting the animals. Wolhuter suggested voicing support for those efforts in the hopes that it would encourage more hunting.
And I thought if there's anything that we could do at all as a community by jumping on board with them, and just making sure that we keep going in the right direction, or maybe get the commercial fleet behind them going, yeah, we think that that's probably the direction we ought to go to. And, you know, I mean, get as many voices as we can behind it.
While Wolhuter and some of the other committee members didn't think a bounty was the solution, they credited Stedman's bill for jumpstarting the conversation. Dave Beebe is a commercial crabber as well as a dive fisherman.
Well, I think the main benefit of Stedman's bill is to get the flywheel in motion here and get the discussion going. But it's pretty clear that it won't survive, you know, the Marine Mammal Protection Act. And the economics aren't there either. I mean, there's just not enough money to deal with the scale of the problem that we're facing. But I definitely appreciate, you know, his initiative to pull this off.
Instead of more otter hunting, fisherman and wildlife artist Joan Kautzer suggested coming up with ways the government could help crabbers and divers transition to different businesses like wildlife viewing or switching to other fisheries.
Maybe there'd be a way for a crabber to, like, be able to get good funding to buy another permit of a different fishery that they might be interested in. Or is there a way of doing a buyback for some of these crab permits? I mean, I think we, to really address the problem, we kind of have to think outside the box, other than a few sea otters being opted to help out.
Kautzer pointed out that shellfish populations were also in danger from ocean acidification, which is caused by the buildup of carbon dioxide in the oceans. So even if all the otters were eliminated, she didn't think it would restore fisheries to previous levels. Still, the otter harvest was an important part of the equation for Brenda Louise. Louise works with the Petersburg Indian Association and serves as Grand Sergeant-at-Arms for the Alaska Native Sisterhood. She suggested liberalizing federal rules on the use and export of otter pelts by Alaska Natives.
There is a market for this, and we could, I believe, personally, that if the policies, if Native people had an influence on the policies with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and were able to create industry, management of the sea otter population, I believe, would be beneficial to the Native people and to the fishermen as well, and to the environment.
The Russian fur trade nearly wiped out Alaska's otter populations by the early 20th century. The state reintroduced the animals to Southeast in the 1960s, and they have since thrived. However, the otter's growing population and big appetite for commercially harvested shellfish species has put them in direct conflict with fishermen. As the otter population expands, crabbers and divers have been displaced from some traditional fishing grounds because they no longer support enough shellfish to catch. University of Alaska otter researcher Zach Hoyt said right now the region should be most concerned with the Dungeness crab and sea cucumber fisheries. He's been studying the otter's diet and working to quantify their impacts. Hoyt's not a committee member, but they asked for his thoughts on the issue.
Commercial shellfish fisheries only have so much time right now. And they need, I mean, without any sort of major change to something, it's a time issue. And there's so much time left that you can effectively make a living fishing for these things. I think there are management strategies to maximize that and that sort of thing. But I think the writing's like what I see. And the way that the population is progressing, expanding both exponentially in both range and in number and density, I don't see that there's much of a chance for a commercial shellfish fisherman 10 or 15 years from now.
Hoyt said there was nothing limiting the otter population in Southeast, no great white sharks and no predation by the region's orcas. In fact, he said they're the healthiest otters that researchers have found. Some members called their impact a disaster and suggested it should be declared as such, which could mean state and federal relief funds. That idea didn't appeal to crabber Andy Knight, who said he didn't want to be compensated for a lost lifestyle. And Knight emphasized that it was not just a problem for commercial fishermen.
This is an issue that really involves all Alaskans. If you live a subsistence lifestyle in Southeast, you are being affected.
Mm-hmm. Putting concerns like these, as well as suggestions for addressing them in writing, is the committee's ultimate task. The members hope to draft a resolution for the borough assembly to consider and eventually send on to federal and state officials. A few years ago, the former Petersburg City Council passed a resolution asking state and federal agencies to work with tribal leaders in Southeast Alaska to become more actively involved in sea otter management and look to remedy problems that already existed. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.